that started the work in me will finish. He will finish. He that started the work in me, he that started the work in me will finish until the end. Mold me and make me, make me like you. Have thine own way, Lord. I want to be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. To be like you.
To be like you.
To be like you. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way.
Have thine own way. You that started the work in me. You that started the work in me. You'll finish until the end.
Philippians 1 and 6
Hallelujah.
Says, being confident of this thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. I was looking today the meaning of finished, and in Hebrew the word, if I say this, probably not pronouncing it right, is tetelestai. It's T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. And that means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish.
Yes, yes.
It is a crucial word.
Yeah.
Crucial. Because it signifies the successful end to a particular course of action. What is that action? He that began the work in you will finish. That's his word. He will finish. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus, and I'll slow down a little bit as I wipe my glasses off. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work, which what he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work he had done. He's a finisher. He doesn't start what he doesn't finish. If he said he started a work in you, he's going to finish the work in you. That's why you still have breath in your body. John 19 and 30, even Yeshua, when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What was finished? What Yahweh had allowed him on this earth to go through testing and trials for him to finish his work in Yeshua. For him to be the example for us. He fulfilled what Yahweh wanted him to, so that he could be the example for us to follow. So I want to name this message, to call it tonight, Unfinished Business. Yahweh gave this to me probably a month ago or more. And I just began to write in my notebook, as I always do, on and on and on and on. And then when my husband said he wanted me to speak tonight, I pulled that notebook out, and then I tried to read my writing. But right now, tonight, I want to thank my husband. I give honor to my husband, pastor of the church, my father, the bishop, my mother, and all of you for being here, all of you online. And I just want to pray. I want to say, Father, Yahweh, I ask you, Father, for what you instilled in me, Father, help me to bring to your precious people, Yahweh, for your spirit to have its way, Father, for your spirit to bring to their minds what they you want them to receive from this, Father. For your business that you're saying that it's unfinished, for us to understand what that is, so that you may finish your work in us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. For we know without it, Father, we could not even finish the business that you have in us, that you are our help. And we thank you tonight. You may be seated. When you come to revelation in this message, as we are coming to day by day, and you're chosen to school and to rule, okay? You're chosen to train and to reign. You must know that too much is given, much is required. It's not just kindergarten. It's much required. Luke, let's go to Luke 12 and 48. But to everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed from him, much more will be demanded of him. So we're not just anybody. If you've been chosen for this message, then it's not something to just take lightly or for granted. It's something that you've got to understand your calling and work towards finishing what he wants to finish in you. We all have unfinished business in us. We still have breath in our bodies. Though we've been chosen, we've not yet arrived. Okay, we are chosen to rule and to reign, right? We're chosen for schooling, for ruling, training for reigning. But we've not arrived yet, none of us. We're candidates. We're a candidate for that. Just like when I was in nursing school and I went to school and I had to study and I had to take test after test, I was not a registered nurse yet. I had not graduated yet. We started our class with almost 300 candidates to be an RN, but I think it was 83 that graduated as an RN. They didn't make it. They didn't finish the business. They didn't get what all needed to be done for them to qualify for that. In the government, in the world, we know there's many cracks, many holes, many discrepancies. We'll be real. There's a lot of crooked people. There's a lot of junk going on. There's a lot of judges. They're not, you know, doing the right things. You know, no matter what area in this life is, there's always going to be some good and some bad. There's always going to be, you know, there's some good ones, but then they got some bad ones. I mean, that's just pretty much a given in every area from top down. But this much I know, without a doubt, in Yahweh's government, he gave Yeshua as the example of perfection, what he perfected in him. So we are to be that sonship. We are to be like Yeshua. You know, not, you know, maybe a little part like him, but like him. He said, this is your copy. This is what you're to do. And in Yahweh's government, he will not accept any less in his government than perfection. I've got news for the world. There will not be a government with Yah. His government will not have cracks and holes. His government will not be deceptive. There will be no darkness there. There will be judges, and they will judge just as he would judge. They will speak as he would speak. They will act as he will act. So that being said, Yeshua paved the way, the example. He went through persecution on this earth. None of us like the persecution. None of us like what we have to go through many times, the tests, the trials, you know, and you may have kept up with them through, you know, many different ways, but just to know that you've been through that and what you learned from that, but you know that there's going to be more, faith to faith, glory to glory. So we don't like that so much, but if you have been chosen for this race on this earth as it is now, you're going to go through that because you can't graduate. You can't get where you're going to go, where he wants you to and position you without going through the steps, just like Yeshua did. It's no different. But this I know, with the help of the Holy Ghost within you. There is no other way, by the way. You can try to get away with it. Yes, you've got to have the Word absolutely rooted in you, but you better have the Spirit with it. One without the other won't do. Okay, you've got to have the Spirit and the truth working together in you as your help to do it. It's your help, okay? So he didn't leave us here by ourselves. He didn't leave us here alone to finish his business in us. He comes to us through the Holy Ghost to speak to our minds, to tell us and to help us to get through the things that he's finishing in us. We're not by ourselves. I think about Yeshua paving the way, the example, and he went through all the persecution. He was tempted. He was in flesh. He had to overcome. But until his last breath, can somebody put a podium down here? Because I might end up coming down here too. I kind of like getting closer into y'all. Up here, I feel like I'm so far away. Until Yeshua's last breath, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when you're reading through the Word of all the things that that he went through on this earth, we're like, there's just no way. How could anyone go through all that? But he did. And he went through it, you know, faith to faith, glory to glory. But even all the way, he gets all the way to the cross where he was beaten and he was tortured, he was tormented. And you would think that is proof enough. He has proven himself. And he is now, he's that overcomer. He's there. He has paved the way. But even until his last breath, with the two that were hanging beside him, that he could have chosen, they were making fun of him. He could have chosen to be offended. He could have chosen to not forgive them and that before that last breath. He could have said, you know what? I'm tired. I've been through enough. I'm the one that you've chosen, but yet here I am on the cross, nails in my hands, blood dripping down, pain that I can't even hardly tolerate. But here I am with these two making fun of me. And he still found in his heart. But what did he do? He was so mindful of that business being finished in him. He had not made it yet. He wasn't there yet. He had not crossed over yet. He had not been given that reward yet. You are not there yet until he says it is finished. Until he says it is finished. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter how many gifts you have. It don't matter how much Holy Ghost you have. It don't have how much spirit you've got. It don't matter how much charisma you have. Until he says it is finished, you're not done. You're not done. Let's none of us come to the point that we think we can kick back, put our feet up, and say, okay, I'm there. I've arrived. You have not arrived. Yeshua hadn't even arrived on the cross yet. But when he, at that last testing, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he showed what was in his heart. His heart was pure. Forgiveness was there. No matter what, he was not offended. He could have been. Think about that. If anybody could have been offended, it would have been Yeshua. If anybody could have just said, I'm throwing in the towel and I'm giving up. But he said, I have fought too hard. I have come too far to turn back now. I have come too far. I will not take my last breath and not be pure in heart. I will please Yahweh. I will please you, Father, with everything within me. I surrender all. When you throw up, just like when he had his hand, and they had him nailed to the cross, that surrender. surrender all. That is the only way he can finish his business in you, in me, is for us to throw up our flesh and say, goodbye, flesh. Die to the flesh. Hello, Father. I am yours. Take me. He proved himself. Oh, but as the churches sing across the world, they sing it this way. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. I've sung it my whole life. On earth I long to be like him. But do you really want to be? Do you really want to be? Is it only you're going to be like him if it fits in your life? If it makes you look good? If it makes you popular? If it makes you say, okay, I'm going to get some credits, you know, accreditation in this world if I do it this way. But now if I do it this way like Yeshua did, I'm going to look weird. Because I promise you, if Yeshua was walking on this earth right now, he would be blocked on Facebook and all of many technologies. He would be deleted. People would be throwing stuff at him. They would be cursing him. He would be suffering. He would be suffering. But I want to say congratulations to every one of you who have been promoted to persecution. Because great is your reward. Great is your reward. Because it is your opportunity to prove that you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer only by the opportunity to prove yourself as that. You know, they say the devil made me do it. Now you made me do that. You made me do it. No, no. We blame the devil for everything. He gives us choice. He gave Yeshua choice. Yeshua was tempted. He could have told Yahweh, you know, the devil made me do it. But no, he didn't. He resisted, and the demons fled from him. When you resist, then the demons will flee, and you prove that you are that overcomer. You've got to allow him, and this is hard, and I've found through the years to break you, to make you. You can't be singing the song beautifully broken in all the right places, as my husband wrote, and not be willing to be broken. Can someone get me some water? But you've got to allow him to break you, to make you. But it's such a beautiful thing when he does this. It's such a beautiful thing. Thank you. What you need to know is he is, thank you, Minister Gino. We are so thankful for Minister Gino. What you need to know, though, you never have to be in fear. Fear not, 365 times in the word for a reason. Because the Holy Ghost is your help when he's breaking you. He's not just going to throw you off the cliff by yourself and then you're dangling and good luck if you land in the water or if you land on a rock or whatever and you're on your own. No, no, no. He is with you. I've got this little thing that many years ago, he came in my spirit, something I was fearing, actually, a test I was going to go do. And I remember him saying, fear not. And so he uses little things with me like parables and different ways for me to get it. But he said, now picture your hand, that's mine. He said, and you're inside the palm of my hand. He said, and when you're going towards that test, he said, close your hand, that's me closing you up, and I've got you. So throughout that whole test, I just held my hand like this. And, of course, everything worked out wonderfully. And I wasn't in fear because that little symbol, he wants us to have little reminders to our mind. And I remember your dad in the nursing home. And he had so much fear. And I said, Papa Johnny, I said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to help you, because he felt like he was all alone in there. And I said, I told him my story about the hand with and holding the hand. And he would call me on the phone at night and before you go to bed when he'd start to get scared. And he said, I've got my hand closed. He said, I know that God's got me in the palm of his hand and I'm not by myself. But see, that's what he wants us to do, is to trust in him like a child, like a child. He desires, he puts breath in our bodies. He put breath back in my body to refine us, to evolve us, to grow us, to change us. Change requires a lot of action. Have you come to find that? That you can't just sit around and the change is going to fall on you. You've got to be participating in it. You have to dethrone yourself in order to put him on the throne. You have to dethrone the persecution as looking at it as a bad thing to put his power in its place. Hungry, thirsty for his ways. His ways, pleasing him above your ways and anyone else. His will above your will, pleasing him above all. Not desiring. I tell you what, this world is so full of this. People copying people. They want to look like this one, or they want to be like this one. They want to imitate that one. And they'll even go as far as having surgeries. You've seen people that they'll want to change their nose. They'll want to change to look like someone else or to be like, you know, they just want to spend time studying these people. I want to be like her or him, and I want to try to imitate them. And, you know, if you know they're doing that, and you'll see how they're trying to. But you know what? Does anybody want to imitate Yeshua? I mean, does anybody on this earth literally would study and study and study and study? I want to be like him. Okay, what did he look like? What did he act like? How did he talk? How did he walk? What did he feast did he fulfill? He fulfilled the Sabbath. Oh, he fulfilled the feast days. Oh, and this is how he responded whenever he was provoked to anger. This is how he responded. Does anybody just spend that kind of time saying, you know what? Yahweh wants me to be like him. So the only way I'm going to be like him is to study him. What was he like on this earth? What was he like? But that Yahweh took the time. He took time with Yeshua to perfect him in him. Okay? Which I said, it's painful at times. So many in the Christian world love to declare the word. They could know the word inside and out. We know that. We hear it all the time. They'll declare this verse. They'll declare that word. And all the promises without obeying the word. You can't. He won't have it that way. You can fool the world, but you can't fool him. He's not going to work through that. He's not going to do it. Nothing gets past him. He sees all. He knows all. Even our thoughts. He knows it. He's had mercy and grace on us, every one of us in this room, since the beginning of time. None of us in this room can say he has not given you his mercy and grace. Nobody. I can say that. He's given me mercy and grace time after time after time. But this is what I've noticed. As you are growing in him and you're in the spirit of maturation and perfection, as you're doing this, I notice that he will allow the fire to be turned up, and it looks like he's not having as much mercy and grace on you. It looks like, well, maybe, you know, okay, where are you at? He will allow the fire to go up to burn you, to burn it out of you, to burn out what needs to come out. He has to crank up the fire to burn it out. But I promise you, if you let him do that, you won't even come out of that smelling like smoke. You will be as pure gold. He will make you beautiful. Beautiful. 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which does perish, by the way, though it was tried with fire, might be found worthy of praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah. When Yeshua appears one day, as he will one day very soon, when he appears, are you going to be able to stand with him face to face and say, hey, I went through the fire too, and I come out of that fire as Yahweh wanted me to, like you did? Are you going to be able to say that I overcame like you did? Are you going to be able to say, I didn't give up just like you didn't give up? I didn't give in just like you didn't give in. Because what Yeshua proved is there was seed life in him. And life is life. It's not death, by the way, even in death. You're alive in Yahweh. Okay? But for us to be able to have, for him to finish his business in us, we've got to be willing to be surrendered. We have to position our mind so he can come in position. You know, they say to have the mind of Christ. Well, what is his mind? His word. Just like the children of Israel, as we read in Numbers 9 and 17. And you can go to Numbers 9 and 17. At that point, they were going by a cloud, Yahweh's voice. And I relate this to whenever he taught me his voice years ago. And I literally would go through little baby steps with it, just wanting just to be everything directed just with his voice, which came out to be work out pretty well when I met my husband. Because when he would ask me to marry him every day, and I said, not till Yahweh tells me to, because I hadn't heard that yet. So the day of April 28th, he asked me, and Yahweh said, tomorrow. So I said, tomorrow. So we got married on April 29th. But that was the cloud. I was going by the cloud. The cloud was telling me. Okay, I wasn't going until the cloud. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the children of Israel set out wherever the cloud settled. The children of Israel encamped. Okay, they didn't move unless the cloud moved. They depended on his voice completely. Once again, I've said this before, they followed the cloud and not the crowd. You have to follow his voice, the cloud, not the crowd. That's your only way to win on this earth. You know, we depend on the GPS system. And I know I do. I don't know how I made it before that to get directions to places. But if we positioned his voice like that in our life, in our mind, to not do anything without him, his voice, just think of how many wrong steps we wouldn't take. You know, how much better things would be. If we just would allow that. He wants to do that for us. So many go back and forth, up and down, up and down. Down one day, up the next, faith one minute, hopeless the next, trusting in his word one minute, then they don't even remember his word, then they go into fear of his, you know, fear, and then they're like, well, no, I'm not in fear, and you're just like, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, so you just have to be dizzy from it. Not rock solid. That's not rock solid. That's shaky. That's lukewarm. He said, hot or cold, you're going to be either one. I'm not going to take you in the middle. He says in Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock, Yahweh unity, I will build this house, this family. the house of Yahweh. And the gates of Sheol, which is the grave, will not prevail against it. Will not. He is, as my husband's been speaking of, bringing things into order. All things into order. And I've heard it said just recently from a minister. It was coming across one of my reels on my phone. That we're not being, you know, the church isn't being shaken. And he's right about that in a sense. The church will not be shaken. He will have his church. He will have his bride. His word cannot be shaken. It won't return void. But his people are being shaken right now. Every one of us. And what that means is whenever you shake something and you, like if you're cooking, you put it through a little filter, and what comes through the filter, if there's anything left in there, comes out to make that clean and pure. That's what he's doing right now for his bride, his people. Because like I said, in his government, he's not going to have anything less than perfection. So if we don't know, you know, there's something in us he wants to address because we've arrived, then we're just going to skip past it. He's not spoken over our lives yet. I've not heard him say it's finished. See, I thought I was finished whenever I died, but he said, no, it's not finished. It's not finished. He brought me back, brought me back. He wasn't done. It was, there's, and hey, you know, he could have got me in the next round, as we have learned with people. But it, no, it was going to be in this round. This is the time now. He says, I've got unfinished business with you, Karen. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot of work to do. But we've got to allow that process. We've got to make our business his business. It's not our business anymore. If we think everything in our lives is our call, everything is us, not, you know, it's we're the top, okay? We're the boss. We have to know if that old man is still in there or is the new man coming out. But how are we going to know that? How are you going to know if the old man is in there? How are you going to know if the new man is in there? It's going to require testing and trials. Testing and trials. That fun thing of testing. Oh my, I remember when I had a nursing test and whew, the grueling and the grinding of the studying and the big old book I would carry around. And my son was a baby then, and he'd be zipping his little wheels across the, you know, in our home. And up and down while I'm walking with that big book and I'm studying, and I'm just like, I didn't get any sleep that the night before the test, and I'm going to, you know, eating Rice Krispies and coffee. I promise you, I lived on sugar. But that was, I was training for being a registered nurse, schooling for being a registered nurse, and I was going to pass that test, and I wasn't just going to pass. I'm going to make a 4.0, which I did. 4.0 every test. But that's how we got to be with his kingdom and government. You think he's going to take anything less than our best? No. And he knows if we're giving him his best. We have to remember in the testing, and this is big, it's not what happens that matters to him. Mm-mm. He could care less. I mean, not that he don't care, but we're going to have many things that we go through. But it's, what is our response? That's the measuring stick. How are you responding to this? Are you responding different today than you did a year ago? Are you responding different today than you did 5 years ago? If you're still stuck with the same junk and you're still responding the same stupid way, and you say, well, you know what, this is how I am and this is how I'll always be and this is just how I was born, and then you just might as well get used to it. No, if it doesn't match up with his will and ways and character and to be the new man, that's the old man. The old man has got to go. So you're going to be measured by this, and you're going to notice a lot of triggers. And by the way, we can have excuse after excuse after excuse. This made me do it and that made me do it. But Satan's got a million excuses. Yahweh has none. None. It was already nailed on the cross. It was already shown how you do it. One of the fruits of the Spirit is control. Self-control. If we're not able to do that, you're not exhibiting what he wants you to. You're not allowing his Spirit to do his work in you is what you're doing. So what are you doing when you do that? You are putting yourself on the throne instead of him. You're allowing your own man, your pride, the old man, to take over the new man and to take over him. You're making yourself God when you do that. We are in the spirit of perfection as he is perfecting us in his ways. My uncle told me, I'm thinking it might have been 12 years ago, he called me one day and he said, Karen, he said, God said, you are in the spirit of perfection. And I was, you know, very new in a lot of things and learning his voice. And I thought, wow, I'm about to be there. Perfect, perfect. Okay, I'm trying every, you know. Little did I know, come to find out, that's going to be all the way until Yeshua returns. That's every single day of our life, that he's perfecting us with the Holy Ghost, prompting us, telling us, hey, don't say that, don't do that, walk this way, do that. You know, he will prompt you. When Yahweh said, the battle is over, the victory is won, what did that mean? That meant there were battles. There were a lot of battles Yeshua had to go through. But he passed them and the victory was won. He overcame. He was flesh. So many try to put him in a different light that he was supernatural. And that, yes, he had a supernatural spirit in him. He had the Holy Ghost. But he was not the superpower being that nothing, you know, you could hit him and it just bounce off. No, he had to put forth the work with the Holy Ghost in him to bounce it back off and say, no weapon formed shall prosper. If Yahweh's on my side, whom shall I fear? I will not fear. I will be anxious for nothing, and I will pray in all things. He had to quote the word. He had to be the word. He could not just fake it out till he made it. He was real. He was real, and not, Yahweh knew it. The word had to take root and flow out of him at all times. Do you know if the word is in you and it has taken root? I know if I go, and I used to take tests in school, and I would memorize things. And I would just say it over and over and over, and I'd write it over and over and over and over and over. Well, automatically on the test, it just flows right back out of me. I mean, go, don't even have to work at it. If you did that with his word and you're meditating on his word day and night, and you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth much fruit, that it doesn't matter if somebody's in your face even screaming, you're going back, you're like, though he is with me always, I will be anxious for nothing. I will pray in all things. I will be of good courage. Or, you know, you're just going to start. I mean, that sounds kind of maybe over-religious, right? Hey, I'd rather be over-religious, over-spiritual any day. I grew up with grandparents that were that. My parents were that. And I promise you that on this earth, to cancel out what comes your way, you've got to be the Word. Be the Word. To be the Word, you got to know the Word. But even if you don't know it cover to cover, get you some scriptures, memorize them, and just if all you can do is say those scriptures day and night till you learn some more, do those. Hey, something comes your way to come against you, go right back at it with that. Yeshua obeyed. He was very obedient. He paved the way. Life happens to us all. Situations occur which can cause roots to grow in us over time. This is, now I'm starting to get to my sermon. And I didn't even say it's a first close. Now, my husband this evening, I asked him to print off my notes. He got concerned. Honey, that's a lot of ink. But I just know that everybody was born, you know, into different situations. Not everybody, you know, we're not all the same. So there's things that can happen in your life, situations can occur, that can cause roots to grow within us in our spirit that we're maybe aware of or not aware of. And it's in you know, it can be in the best of the best of people, and they don't even know where did that come from. It come from a seed from way back. It come from somewhere to destroy your life, to destroy Yahweh's plan in your life. And you don't even know it. You're like, wait, I'm going through life. I think just fine. I'm being successful and all. And all of a sudden, a trigger comes up of some sort and a response to that trigger. And then, you know, okay, we get past that. And we're like, okay, and we're doing great. I don't see no big deal in that. You know, no big deal. I want someone to bring me, I always have to have a prop, so I have a rug and a broom over there. And I was going to get the garbage can out of here, but I guess I won't. I love props since I was a little girl. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Will we lay it down?
Yeah, we'll lay it down. So, you know, imagine this in your house, right? You clean house and you know, you sweeping, and you just keep, instead of using the dustpan and throw it in the garbage, taking the trash out, getting rid of it for good, you just flick that rug up. And we just keep sweeping under the rug. Okay? Well, it's going to finally, if you just kept doing that and never, it would just pile and pile and pile. It'd have a big hump in it. Well, that is like our physical bodies, for instance. You know, you might start seeing a little dirt coming out from the side as it gets really, really full. Like it might be time to pick the rub up and do what you got to do. But in our physical bodies, Yahweh, and in our spirit, He gives us triggers, alarms, alerts, 911s, whatever. He'll give us alerts before it becomes a 911. Yeah. We should count it all joy when we get an alert because He wants to turn it for our good. Now, we could not pay attention to it and just brush it back under the rug, sweep it back under the rug, okay, and just let it keep piling up. Yahweh gives us tools. And if you have the Holy Ghost, one is conviction.
Amen.
Don't know about you, but I have felt convicted many times in my life. And I count it all joy when I do. If I cannot feel that conviction, I know there's something wrong with my spirit. You better examine your spirit if you are not examining it. And here's a bigger one. Here's an even bigger one. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you are responding in a way that Yahweh, there's nothing like Him. It's total opposite. And you're not convicted. That's even scary. No, you may be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you've got so much junk in your trunk. It's so clogged up, just like you get a sink clogged up or a toilet and you don't get it unclogged where it won't even flush or it won't even go down the drain, that there's no conduit for Him to get to you, to your mind, to tell you that's wrong. You've got to change that. You've got to stop that. But you have brushed it under the rug so much that you have numbed yourself out to where you can't even recognize that you're not being like Yeshua was on this earth. And there's people in this room that do that. Every one of us, we've got something in us that's got to go. It's got to be finished. He's got unfinished business. It's got to be finished. Because if it's not, you don't know if you got tomorrow. You don't know if you've got next week. There's people that are dying every day. He has given us breath in our bodies. He has given us a chance to get the broom, sweep it out, put it in the dustpan, put it in the garbage, throw it out of your house, throw it out of your temple. Get it finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. But don't think you're done. No. If you've not confessed. Ever heard of confession is good for the soul? I wondered why when I came back from death, Yahweh has got me into this position of constantly, I'm sorry, repenting, confession, if it's anything, even if I've done or not done, I've got to say what it is. I've got to get it out. Because that's the only way to get it out. You've got to speak it out. You got to be accountable. Accountable to Yahweh and to you and to whoever is around you. And guess what? If you're around a mate or your spouse or a friend and you have spoken wrong words to them or wronged them, it don't work just going to Yahweh saying, oh, I'm sorry, I repent. No. You better confess one to another. You better say, I'm sorry for what it is you're sorry for. You know why? Because the enemy is waiting to plant a seed in their head to hold it against you. But once you get it out, it's out. But then you are accountable. Next time you do it, hey, you did it before and you said you wouldn't again. See, he holds us to a measuring stick to finish us. You stand before a judge, and they may have mercy and grace on you one time, but you go back before them again, and you've done the same thing again. Okay, the punishment's going to get a little bit more. You go again. You done did it again. The third DUI. Okay, we're now going to have to go up on the ante. We're going to have to go up in punishment because you've not gotten it yet. You're not finished. You're not finished. You can't get back on the road and drive. You're not finished. You're not ready. You're not finished. He gives us the beautiful tools of conviction. He gives us the beautiful tools of confession. He gives us the beautiful tool of repentance. He gives us that we still have that chance. We're not dead. We aren't gone. We're alive. We have to count it all joy. Oh, thank you for that conviction. Thank you for that confession I can make still. Thank you for that I can still repent. Because what he's saying to you is, I have started a work in you. And I'm going to finish the work in you. Because just like Yeshua, when I told him, it is finished. One day, I'm going to say, Sister Betts, it's finished. One day, Brother Betts, it's finished. One day, Brother Tuttle, it's finished. One day, Sister Tuttle, it's finished. One day, Elder Conley, it's finished. One day, he wants to say those words to you. He wants to say them to me. 99.9 won't do. You get up there when it's time to say it's finished, but I gave 99.9. He says, no, 100. 100. I wondered why I would not in nursing settle for less than 100, 4.0. But little did I know he was preparing me for his kingdom now on this earth to train for it. Because he was telling me, I only want perfection. And you can't do it without me. He said, you cannot do it without surrendering your flesh to me. allowing me to throw the old man out of you and make that new man. Make me come through. Cause you to have the mind of Christ, that the words that I speak just comes out of your mouth and flows like rivers of living water going across this dark, infected, ugly earth. That you got a mouth that's full of good things. Things that only speak the way I speak. We're not in preschool, we're not in kindergarten, we're not in elementary school anymore, we're not in junior high, we're not in high school, we're in college. We are training for reigning and schooling for ruling. Your accountability has gone up. Accountability and responsibility and what he will put up with and won't put up with. You will notice that you're held to high standard. High standard. You are required to take notice. A little bitty child, you know, they'll say something that's not right, and you'll say, all right, little Johnny, you know, you said that was wrong, and they might say, I'm sorry for saying that. What did you say? Okay. But as you get older, and as you go up in age, you are required to take notice of your words. Every word you speak, you're accountable for. You will answer for. Every thought, every action, you're like, oh my, that's too much. No, it's not. When you're training for reigning and schooling for ruling, he's going to finish the business in you. Your responses are being measured daily. Not just last week. Oh, last week I did great. Well, here's another day. Here's another week. You woke up. It's a new day. It's a new day. Look in the mirror. Do you see the face of Yeshua? Face to face. Are you face to face? Do you look in that mirror and you just see Yeshua? Not yet. Keep taking up the cross and following his ways. One day you will. One day you will look in that mirror, and just like I think it was Michael Jackson saying, the man in the mirror, you're going to look at that man in the mirror, but you're going to not even know who you are. You're going to see the face of Yeshua face to face in all of his glory, because his glory is going to shine through you, and it just bounces off that mirror. We have choice on this earth. Joshua 24 and 15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who you serve is proved in your actions, your words. By the way, we can say all day, and the world does, oh, I love Jesus, I love it. You know, but then their words, your actions prove who you are. I mean, it's not even by just you saying you are. You have got to prove it. Whatever you're being triggered to do, or whatever alert is in you, don't keep sweeping it under the rug. He says, we have graduated now. We're now in college, and now we're going up levels. He said, sweep it up. Get your house clean. Sweep your house. Get it clean. Get it to where it's so clean, it's so pure unto me. Because he won't take no dirty place. He won't take it dirty. So many people, though, they born with this pride in them to where they make themselves a god. And they're going to look less than if they humble themselves. He says, true ignorance. It's not if you don't know every word, revelation of the word. That's not true ignorance. True ignorance is when you bow to your flesh in pride above him, making you the God before him. He says that's ignorance. That's true ignorance. So many people run, stay on the run from their own self. They may have something. I know in our ministry is a lot about shining a light. And people that can't handle it, they get to running. They got to go. But guess what? They're going wherever they go. Their own self is with them. It's not going to go anywhere. Wherever you are, you are. You can't run. You can't hide from your own self. You can't hide from him. Because he wants you to be free from bondage of your own self. He wants your house swept clean, you pure in heart. Freedom, that's freedom. Peace of mind, you can lay your head on the pillow at night, no matter where you are, what country you in, what city you in, and you're not running from yourself. You are clean in heart. You're pure in heart. He is finishing. You know that day, thank you, Yahweh, you finished your work in me. I did better in my response. I was alert to what I used to say or do, and now, I did so much. So much better. You're finishing. I'm allowing you to finish me. To finish me. He will finish you. He wants to do that. That's his will, to finish you. He's got to have a conduit. He's got to have something. He's got to have a clear way to get to us. But if we keep sweeping it under the rug, if we don't get it from under the rug, put it in the trash can and throw it out the house and be taken off. It's just going to keep coming back. It's just like if you have a fire going and the fire dies down, but you still got a little flicker, and then you just put more debris on there, that fire's got a chance of getting bigger again. So that's what people do with things that their spirit has been so clogged. And they've been alerted time after time again. Maybe they've gotten away with it. But, you know, they're thinking, okay, it's all right. Just put it on the rug again. I don't want to face it. I don't want to face it. So I'm just going to put it under the rug. He'll make the fire go up so much one day to where it's going to be right in your face. You're not going to have any other way out but to jump in the fire or to get out of the fire. You got one way or another. There's no other way out. There's no other door. When it gets to that point, he's telling you, I'm not even going to allow you to destroy you. I'm not even going to allow you to trash your own self. Because I've got a plan for you and it's good. I've got a plan to prosper you. I've got a plan to make you more than you ever thought you could be. He said, you're royalty in my kingdom. And I won't have anything less than that. I'm not going to let you destroy the plan that I've worked so hard to finish in you. You know, they say, when people keep doing stupid things, throwing it under the rug, expecting a different result, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity. Well, it's the definition of not having the mind of Christ, for sure. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. I'm not going to read it, but that's the mind of Christ. It's not on the solid rock. It's sinking sand. You're just going to sink. If you have attempted to put the fire out, but there's something still left there, you're going to know. You're going to know. It doesn't always happen overnight. It's a process, and you got to have patience with it. If you allow him to burn everything out of you that is not of him, you will come out like pure gold. Job 23 and 10, but he knows the way that I take. And when he is finished trying me, I will come forth as gold. Amen. You're held to higher accountability. Not guilt, not being a victim, not being condemned, but you are accountable to be in the spirit of conviction in your heart. Keeping your heart positioned for him to prick you, for him to poke you, for him to say, stop, go, don't, yeah. Run, walk, sit. You got to be there for him and have yourself ready. You got to be prepared. You got to be positioned for that. Because if you're not positioned, you've turned your head, you've turned a deaf ear to him refining you or finishing you. He can't do it. He gives us choice. He hopes and wishes for all to be saved. He wants all to be. He wants us to go into the plan he has for us, but he can't make us. Remember this. You can write this down. Yahweh is working in what you are working out. Okay. I'm going to say that again for the people in the next city. Yahweh is working in what you are working out. Count it all joy. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because he that started the work will finish it as you allow him to. And he does all things well. Mark 7:37. He said, take dominion over your own mind. Psalm 119:133. Order our steps. Cause us to walk with steadfastness in your law. And do not let any iniquity rule over us. Take dominion over that trigger. Put it in the trash. Carry it out by confession. That is taking it out. That is repentance. Putting it out of your house. Recognizing what the trash looks like and sounds like. Wake that dead mind up that has put a wall up to that. That is going to cause your destruction. That's going to cause you not to step into your position of ruling and reigning one day. He's not going to qualify you for the government with that junk in your trunk. No, he's not going to do it. So you, now is the time to face it, not later. Now is the time to look and say, oop, that don't sound like him. That don't look like Yeshua, because I've studied to imitate him, and I don't think that's imitating him. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't act like that. You don't just put it in remission, okay? Just like a disease goes into remission, it's always there waiting to come back, maybe. It's got to go. He said, I've got to finish this. Unfinished business. And, you know, we rush, you know, ourselves to doctors. We rush ourselves to the hospital. We rush ourselves 911, ER, testings, and all the things that we do whenever we think in our physical bodies there's something that's just not right. What if we got an alert in our spirit that's not right, whatever that may be, and we rushed to him and said, Yahweh, examine me, test me. I want you to mold me and make me and give me what I need to get myself healed of this. Father, I don't want this in me. It may have been rooted in me since I was a child. It might have been rooted me from inherited something from a mother or a father or a family member. I might have inherited this. You know, there's people that are alcoholics and they say, come from your inheritance. It come from your, you know, from your background. You say, Father, that's not supposed to be in me. That's not like Yeshua. I don't want that anymore. I need your Holy Ghost. I need your help for me to overcome this. I'm an overcomer, and he will finish his work in you. When you confess it, you repent of it, you turn and don't go back. But if you do go back, say, get me back again. Get me. Every time you fall, he'll get you back up. Every time he falls, he gets you back up. He's not going to stop his work in you. He's going to keep on working until he finishes as long as you let him. Anything that can be shaken in us, he's doing it so he can finish his work in us. You can't turn a deaf ear anymore. He's here to help you. He desires all to be saved. Psalm 139:23-24, and I really am almost at the end. Psalm 139:23-24. This is a prayer we should pray. Examine us, O Yahweh. Know our hearts. Test us. Know our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in me which leads to suffering and death, but lead me into the way of everlasting life. We should pray that every day. I promise you, that's his will. That's his word. You pray his will, he's going to answer you. You might hear something you don't want to hear. He might trigger you something you won't see, but he's going to answer you. If there is anything, and I keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it, that keeps manifesting from your old man, you have to address it. How he desires you to overcome that and to be like him in your responses. You've got to get it out. It's got to be taken out. Or because one day, as you habitually do this, as you keep addressing it, as you keep addressing it, it may keep coming back. You keep addressing it. You keep throwing it out. You throw it out. It tries to come back. You throw it out again. One day, and you may not even know what that day may be, but one day you'll say, you'll look in the mirror, wow, okay, I see Yeshua. Oh, I did like Yeshua would do. I spoke like he would speak. I responded like he would respond. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not responding that way no more. And you'll be like, oh, I'm growing. I'm maturing. Oh, okay, Yahweh, I'm doing better. You're finishing me. One day I'll be all finished up and you'll say I'm finished. But until then, I'm going to keep letting you do what you got to do in me. Every day. He says, nothing is hidden, nothing with him. We can't hide behind things. We may can hide it from the world, but we can't hide it from him. He said, there's nothing broken, there's nothing missing, and there's nothing gone. He wants to make you whole. To do that, the hidden things have to come out so that nothing will be broken. Nothing will be missing or gone. Ecclesiastes 1:9. This right here spoke to me about Yeshua, how I got it, and with us. That what he went through to be finished. It says, that which has already been will be yet again. That which has already been done is what will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. None of the stuff that you're going through wasn't had to go through people before you, what Yeshua had to go through. Ecclesiastes 1:17. So I applied my mind to know wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and also to know madness, foolishness, absurdity, folly, silliness. I learned that this was vexation of my spirit. I was grasping at the wind. When you give in to the old man, the old ways, not the mind of Christ, you're just grasping at the wind. It gets you nowhere. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. It's time, by the way. It's time. That's what I keep hearing him say. For everyone in this room, he said, I've called it to be. It's time. I'm finishing my business in you. He said, no more excuses. No more excuses. No more. He says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. I've given you mercy and grace all these years. There was a time for you to be born. There's a time appointed to die, a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot. He said there's a time to uproot what you have planted. You have planted and allowed things to be planted in you, in your life. But he said it's time to uproot. He said, I will do the uprooting in you. I'm your help. I'm that Holy Ghost help. But you've got to address it. You've got to face it. There's a face-off coming with everyone in this room. On this earth as it is now. There's a face-off one day in the days to come for the rest of the world. But there's a face-off with you now. On this earth. He said we are facing now what has to come out of you. Not later. There's a time to kill it. It's now. There's a time to heal. There's a time to break down. There's a time to build up. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to throw away stones. A time to gather stones. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embraces. Time to get in your quiet place. A time to be alone with me, he says. A time to get. Then there's a time to lose. A time to keep. Then there's a time to throw away. There's a time to tear. There's a time to sow. There's a time to remain silent. And then there's a time to speak up. There's a time to love. And there's a time to hate what I hate, he says. There's a time for war. And there's a time for peace. He said the time is now. The time is now to get it right. To allow me to finish my unfinished work in you, to get uprooted. I'm supposed to end on the high note, but I've got to finish this. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said to myself, Yahweh will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time and a purpose for every work. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2. Keep your foot, watch your step. When you go to the house of Yahweh, be ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they don't even realize they do evil. Do not be rash or reckless with your mouth. Do not think hastily, uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh's in heaven and you're on earth, so let your words be few. Ecclesiastes 7:8-14. The end of something is better than its beginning. That's you. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not become easily angered, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? You're not showing wisdom by asking such a question. It is well to have wisdom as well as an inheritance, and its benefits those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, like money is a defense. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of Yahweh, who can make straight what he has made crooked. Be pleased when things go well, but when times are bad, consider Yahweh has made the one as well as the other, and man will never know what lies ahead of him. He that started the work will finish it. He will finish his business until he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The battle is over. The victory is won. Come, rule, and reign with me. Come on in. It's finished. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Don't ever leave alone. Let's all gather tonight. For without